Hi guys, sorry for the wait. This is The Great Everything, a guide to becoming a better human through culture, common sense and critical thinking. I'm Patrick, a former banking lawyer who saw the light and quit to dedicate my life to philosophy, the greatest self-development tool of all. So early last week, I asked a question here on Anchor.
In an argument between two positions, is it ever legitimate to carry out an ad hominem attack?
It was in the context of a conversation about how to have rational debates. The mechanics of a conversation, mechanics of disagreement, something that I see as increasingly crucial for us to understand in our polarized times. I'd had a disagreement with my friend Jack about, well, you know what, I'll just let myself from a week ago do the talking.
It was a segment I did around the time of the Charlottesville incident, and when Trump said that the hatred and bigotry was coming from many sides. And in that segment, I said that Trump was right to say this, but that although his message was right, he was the wrong messenger for this. Now, Jack said that this was an ad personam attack on Trump, and that therefore it was invalid, it was a logical fallacy.
Now, in that segment, I explained why I thought it wasn't an ad hominem fallacy. Ad hominem is when you disagree with the other side, but instead of debating them on the arguments, you try to invalidate their argument by attacking their character. But in this case, I was actually agreeing with Trump's argument. All I was saying is that he wasn't credible when he was making that argument. Now, when I said this, I already knew that Jack would see it as an artificial distinction. And he does. And so I invited Jack to call in and give me his two cents and explain himself. And so here he is, Jack. But before we proceed, I'd just like to recap. We're talking about Trump's Charlottesville speech, when he said that the violence was coming from many sides. I believe that this is true, but that Trump isn't the best spokesperson for this nuanced view. Jack, on the other hand, believes that this is a fallacy, and he's about to explain why. I hope you enjoy.
Hey Patrick, it's Jack here. Thanks for encouraging me to call in on the ad hominem point that I disagree with you about. But first of all, before I get into the ad hominem, I just wanted to really convey publicly how nourishing your show has been for me. I've been definitely an avid listener, listening every single day. Probably had at least two eureka moments on the back of your show. So thank you so much. Yeah, so Patrick asked me to explain my reasoning as to why I found your comments about Trump's comments post-Charlottesville about there being violence on both sides, that being the right thing to say but the wrong person to say it. Why did I find that an artificial distinction? So I kind of felt on a gut level that this wasn't an ad hominem logical fallacy in form, but it was in substance. And to me, that provoked the question, could person X ever actually be the right messenger, even though the person in question might have terrible character flaws, such as being a raving hypocrite or something? And that took me to a saying in diplomacy that it's easier to make peace from the right than it is from the left. Okay, so the reason for this is that where the right is the tough constituency wherein the problem that needs solving lies, it really helps a lot on a practical level if the messenger has credibility, got some real leverage among that constituency. So on this logic, to the extent to which person X might want to resolve a problem related to his constituency and conveys a message which is correct, then if that message has resonance with person X's constituency, then person X is the or a right messenger for that message. By virtue of person X being who he is and saying what he has said, he has real bargaining power over those within his constituency to effect positive change, if he so chooses. So to this one might say, for heaven's sake, Jack, this is a really dumbass comment. I mean, this is Trump we're talking about, right? And to that I'd say, well, put your crystal ball away. That in itself is fallacious reasoning. You shouldn't be making blanket statements about what will or won't happen in the future, no matter how predictable you think the future might be. And there's another point here. I would also say that applying the right message, wrong messenger label to Trump sets a bad precedent. In the late 70s, Menachem Begin, so Israeli Prime Minister, made peace with Egypt from the right. It was an outcome which would have seemed very unlikely in the preceding years. Likewise, in the early 90s, F.W. de Klerk, South Africa, a tough man of impeccable Afrikaner credentials, he surprised everyone by bringing an end to apartheid in South Africa. So again, he was making peace from the right. So my point is here that surely we wouldn't want to be snuffing out those future, those unlikely Begin and de Klerk moments of the future, would we? And this is why I believe that the right message, wrong messenger label is invariably not only unhelpful, but also actually illogical ad hominem fallacy. I fully recognise it's splitting hairs, but for the reasons Patrick has made repeatedly on this show, think of Patrick's effort to get us to do a better job in accommodating diversity of thought in our lives. In other words, become better heterophiles. I think that's a new word I found today. For these reasons of non-tribalism, it's sacrosanct to uphold the principle of playing the ball, not the man, to the fullest possible extent.
Listen to, well, you know who.
Well, first of all, thank you to Jack, and wow, there's a lot to digest there, and some great points, in particular on diplomacy, which, after all, is exactly about the art of reaching agreement from disagreement. So first, let's start with what I agree with. In particular, your point about how leaders on the right, or really any side of the spectrum, have a greater authority to speak to their constituency because they'll be listened to, and therefore they have greater power to actually affect change. I completely agree with that. It's why I talk a lot more about liberal hypocrisy than about fascism, because I'm not a fascist. Most of my friends aren't fascists. Most of my listeners aren't fascists. They're progressives and liberals. They're the people who listen to me, so they're the ones I speak to, and whose flaws I try to bring attention to. But while I agree with the argument, I mean, after all, it does take a Yasser Arafat to convince the Palestinians to sign peace accords, it took de Klerk to convince the white minority in South Africa to end the apartheid, I don't think it perfectly applies to Trump signalling that the political hatred was coming from many sides. Perhaps if this statement could have been seen as a genuine attempt at presenting this nuanced, balanced view of the situation, and of reaching out to his constituency on the right and saying, hey guys, we gotta stop doing this and just come together. I mean, none of this really sounds like Trump's MO, right? I mean, balanced, nuanced. But fine, but let's say that that was genuinely what he was saying. If that were the case, I'd say okay. He's reaching out to his people, and he's the right person to talk to them and get them to see the error of their ways. But instead, he didn't say that. He said, the violence is coming from many sides. Now, I'm no psychologist, but I can easily see how Trump's constituency would hear that and take it as a justification. Oh, the other guy started it. Which they did, by the way. In all honesty, they really did. But if that's the message that Trump's leading with, if that's the part of his message that he's stressing, then does it make much sense to see this as Trump making peace from the right? Or is it rather just a partisan statement clarifying that, oh, my guys aren't as much to blame? So what is the value of Trump speaking to the neo-Nazi portion of his constituency and saying, it wasn't just you, it was everyone? I suppose you could say it's the most effective way of gently scolding your neo-Nazi supporters. Now, you shouldn't be doing this, and look, I get it, it's not all your fault, but please stop it because this doesn't look good. Fine, I mean, it's weak as pish, but I don't have a huge problem with it. But let me point out that that is the most charitable way to interpret the statement coming from Trump. And you can see how it doesn't look good for him, because he was given a golden opportunity, the easiest task for the US president, to condemn political violence committed by literal Nazis. And the best Trump could do with that was a gentle admonishment that sounded like a loving mother reminding a misbehaving child that she still loves him, no matter what. But anyway, let's move on to the more substantive point. What does it mean to be the wrong messenger for the right message? In his call-in, Jack made an excellent point that I agree should be applied to most instances of rational debate. Play the ball, not the man. In making this point, Jack raised an interesting question. Can someone with bad character ever be the right messenger for a message that we agree is good? What does it mean to be a right messenger? So let's start by saying this. Not everyone's statements on a subject are equal. And when you wake up with a lump on your testicles, you don't want to hear what an astronaut has to say about it, you want to talk to a doctor. What if your local barista tells you that it's a tumor? I mean, he may be right, but you'll still get a professional opinion, right? Because the barista simply isn't the person you're going to listen to on this. He's lacking some kind of authority to be a believable messenger. In this case, of course, the authority we're talking about is professional, it's knowledge. But hey, you might argue, Trump didn't need to have a degree to say what he said. Well, very true. But I'm just planting a flag here to show that there are at least some cases where a true statement is given more or less weight, depending on who said it, who had the greatest authority to say it. So what about if somebody isn't talking about a tumor or climate change or ancient Greek? What about moral statements such as, you shouldn't cause harm to anyone based on the color of their skin? Now, you could say that that's true, whomever says it. Yeah, it is, I agree. And you don't need a degree or some special knowledge to say it. But as a separate point, imagine this scenario. A group of Klansmen gather outside a tent during a gig by the famous black blues singer Bessie Smith, and they begin shouting racist slurs to intimidate her. Bessie, however, is uncowed and she exits the tent and proceeds to beat the living shit out of each of the Klansmen. And as she approaches the last one, ready to strike him down, he shouts that it's wrong to cause harm to someone based on the color of their skin, and that we are all brothers and sisters under God, so please spare him. Now, are we truly not allowed to draw a distinction between the moral validity of this statement as made by the Klansman trying to save his skin, and the same statement as made by Martin Luther King, for instance, or Bobby Kennedy? Do each of these have the same moral authority to make the statement? The fact that it's true isn't the point. But I don't think it's artificial to draw attention to who is saying it and why. Right, let's clear something up. A statement is not an object that exists somewhere in space and has a single unchanging meaning. And sometimes you use the statement, and then another time I'll use it. Hey, you're using the statement? Can I take it for a second? And whoever's using it, it means the same thing. No, a statement is something that is uttered by a person in a specific context and with a specific intent. So therefore, the same statement, the same words can have many different meanings concealed within them. Now, I'm no mind reader, but is it that hard to imagine that when Donald Trump said that the violence was coming from many sides, which it was, this might not have come from a desire to present a nuanced, objective view on what was happening, but instead it might have just been an attempt to remind everyone that the right weren't the only ones to blame. Do we think that when I say that violence is on many sides, it means the same thing that it means when Trump says it? Because when I say it, the message is, guys, don't get too angry. There's rising tension here and we're all contributing to it, and we need to look within our hearts and stop ourselves from feeding that inner beast, because that makes things worse. Now that's the message, and if that's the message, then Trump, in my view, is the wrong messenger, because when he says those same words, it sounds like something else entirely. Now, getting back to Jack, it seems to me as though his argument is that in general, if the statement is true, the moral character of the person saying it is irrelevant. Play the ball, not the man. I agree with this in general, in the sense that if a statement is true, the character of the person is irrelevant to its being true. But a statement is not just a true/false dichotomy. A statement comes from an intention and it goes with a purpose. And within that framework of why is he saying it? Who is he saying it to? What does it mean? What is it trying to achieve? I believe that the character of the person making the statement is not just not irrelevant, but actually crucial to evaluating the worth of the statement. What do you guys think?
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now. Jack and shit. And Jack left town.